Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you can find everything about this program at wethepeopleradio.us. It's an important location because there are 10 years of archives there for you on tons of different topics. We've obviously, they're all there listed in order, but we're trying to do little groupings and make it a little easier for you to do some searching on the site. So we've done a bunch of shows on veterans issues, South Africa, China. We're doing another show on China today for you, environmentalism, marijuana, stuff like that. So trying to group those for you at the top of the page to make your search easier. But if you know somebody out there who has great information that the public needs to hear, we would appreciate you giving us a call or sending us an email. That information is all online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Well done.
And there you have it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was that?
That was
the microphone adjuster.
Yeah, that was my
So we not a lot of goofing off today because today is a part two. Not that we goofed off that much last week, but it's a big topic. The title of the article that caught my eye a while back was "Can Chinafornia Ever Be California Again?" And as I read, it's a long article. It's very good. And the title part way down the page here is, now that the Chinese Communist Party, you'll hear about that a lot today, the Chinese Communist Party, it'll be referred to as the CCP. So as you hear CCP, it's Chinese Communist Party, has used its united front work. And I know that's the thing we didn't even get to last week. There's a lot behind this. I was just talking off air with our guest, Dr. Chen, and he was saying that there's a wonderful article by Nikki Haley that I'm in the process of posting for you. It'll be online here in just a second if you want to refresh your page. And he was saying that there was really good information in there. However, it lacked some of the background that needed to go with it, but the ideas were good. So he's gonna give us a little info about that. Dr. Chen has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He was born in China in 1962. At the age of 15, he entered a gifted program at China University of Science and Technology, and he came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and receive his Ph.D. in molecular biology, which will not be discussed today, I should point out, at the University of California, San Diego.
Oh, I'm sad.
Since a conversation with us about molecular biology would be really short. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. So he's a well-rounded guy with tons of information and graciously agreed to come on and do a part two for us. So while I'm posting Nikki Haley's article, let's go directly to you, Dr. Chen. Give us a little setup for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the kind introduction. After last week's show, I thought of one of Bill's questions, and I need to make elaborate on that a little bit more. That's
sure.
The sparing of China from the collapse of the communist bloc, in East Europe. And Bill asked me, why is that? And afterwards, I thought about it. In fact, basically the agreement or the promise of not doing anything from the U.S. by the older Bush, the Bush senior president, played an important role because he basically gave Deng Xiaoping the assurance that the U.S. would not intervene, and hence the June 4th massacre. And last time I mentioned this declassification of that part of the history. And so, you know, that unfortunately, a U.S. person played an important role in helping the communist China to stay being communist under communist regime. And so that I should point that out.
Do we mean to help them, or are we just being dummies? I mean, never discount the power of not knowing what you're doing.
We certainly don't mean to help them.
Okay.
But the multiple factors, but mostly selfishness, what I mentioned is greed, played a lot into it. And the reason I think Nikki Haley, who was our ambassador to the United Nations, many should know, that the reason that I really like her article is that the article formally, you know, being where she has been, being what she represented, this is formally represents, I think, high officials of America or U.S. realizing, comprehensively realizing the threat of CCP. But I'm stunned to think that there is not enough or any study, in-depth study, how China or CCP has risen up in the past 30 years. And this article, Nikki's article, talk about China's, you know, rising as a major theme of that past 30 years. But how? And there's very little study into it, if any. And one particular paragraph that I want to quote here of this article, Nikki's article, is she said, one principle that guides U.S. foreign policy is that countries should respect what belongs to other countries. After World War II, the United States provided aid to rebuild Germany and Japan. We did not steal the resources of either country. More recently, when we led the coalition that overthrew Saddam Hussein, we spent great sums to help rebuild Iraq. We didn't steal a drop of its oil. However, when it comes to China, unfortunately, I don't think America can make that claim. Now, the U.S. did not actively steal. So our policymakers did not realize, or in their mind, we did not steal. However, with what I talk about, the generous barbarism, when China hand larger sum of what the CCP has stolen from China, or from Chinese people, when the CCP hand that actively, you know, voluntarily handed that to the U.S., when the U.S. accept that, the U.S. unwittingly stole that. And so I don't think many people or any has really come to a clear understanding of that. And that is, to me, that is the fundamental reason why the U.S. has played this unwitting role to, you know, what I mentioned last time, a Chinese saying, raise a tiger to be a threat. And yes, U.S. raised the CCP to be U.S.'s own threat. And this whole thing, the U.S. has done it unwittingly. But that is because our greed has been, you know, induced and taken advantage of by the CCP.
Yeah, we look at China as a great trading partner and a great opportunity to make a lot of money for, you know, industry and big corporations.
Goods and services,
overlook.
Come out of China.
It's too much
money. You know, a lot cheaper. And
a lot of money at play.
How's that working out? We went into that last week, so we won't redo all of last week's show, but really and truly, I hope you will go back and listen. Just for reference, we're airing on the 28th of July here in 2019, so that would be under the 21st of July, 2019, obviously. Since we are not allowed to time travel, even with Dr. Chen, what a drag. We need to have somebody on who knows how to do that, and they could help us with that. That's what we need to add to our repertoire, time travel. I'll be afraid. So we'll be right back in 2 minutes. We'll take a little break for capitalism here. You're listening to We the People. About the theme for the whole show. I do hope people will go back and check out the information from last week, because honestly, we do look at China. We know that they take our technology and replicate it. I don't think we think about how the goods come back for so much less money and what's happening to the actual people there, but we're fueling.
We're fueling China's growth.
Fueling their growth, which seems like, well, hey, we all grow together. Rising tide lifts all ships. But,
at what cost?
Yeah. So anyway, back to you, Dr. Chen.
Yeah. So last time you asked about the United Front work.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is probably not so easy to... for people with principle to understand, but for people who has been there and live under that, I came from China, and we all understand what it truly is. This is all about deception. I mean, we Chinese, we all know about it. This is all about deception. Friendship that was, supposedly construed, but the friendship all changes with different needs at different times. So, on the surface, the United Framework says to unite all forces that can be united, all forces that can be united to fight the main enemy. Now, by itself, it already told anybody to be united. The CCP, I must say, the CCP is, quite upfront that it says, we'll unite you to fight the main enemy. Well, once the main enemy is conquered, what will be next? There will be next enemy, main enemy, right? And there will be next main enemy. There's next main enemy. There's no bottom line. It's all based on, what is needed at a time. Who's our main enemy? And once that is killed off, we go on to the next, right? And so, for example, social study, international study, we all know that people now understand that democratic countries are not easily going to war. And that's, you know, how we understand the modern peace. There are so many democratic countries. They don't go into war against each other, or at least they don't usually go into war against each other. That's because they have a bottom line. They share something in common, principled foreign policies. This thing doesn't exist, in, you know, with communism. It just united work. You know, it's worse with CCP, but it's with other communist regime as well. That all this alliance are temporary, based on the need, moments need. Once the need change, friendship changes. So you cannot counter anything. So that's why the, you know, communist country going to war against each other, you know, more frequently than any other kind of country. They, you know, we can look at a communist country, their history, right? China was at war with, with Russia, with Vietnam. You know, Russia invaded Czechoslovakia. There's all this kind of history. So there's no bottom line. And unfortunately, for people with bottom line, they tend to think, the communist country might have that as well. So they form alliance with them and get burned. First alliance, the U.S. with the CCP is by Nixon in the need to fight a Soviet or isolate Soviet. And that gave the CCP a leash of life in the 1970s. And even though I don't think that's particularly wrong at that time, but it's just that we forgot. U.S., America forgot that the CCP did not have bottom line. And that is what has caused the problem with China. See, this country, to me, America is a country different than any other country, that it was not formed on cultural, ethnic, or historical, or geological background. It was not found in any of those, like any other country. This country is found on an idea. And so this country has its national ideal. And this national ideal is American exceptionalism. Except we have to remember what this country is exceptional in. In what aspects we're exceptional. I myself came from China. It was from understand a part of this history, America's history, the Amistad. When I watched the Amistad movie, I looked up that part of the history. And it's that part of history that made me to embrace the concept of America, exceptionalism. So this ship carried itself in 1839 to the United States and touched off a historical legal battle, then went up to the Supreme Court. And risking America's contemporary national interests, their alliance with mighty Spain, Americans who didn't even know where those people came from, they choose to defend them. Those are complete strangers. They have to hire a language professor to find out where they came from, right?
And that's
so
true.
It's that part of history that made me to understand Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and the Civil War. The Noble War really fought for the principle, for a principle, and for those who could not fend for themselves. And so I came to enlightenment that it was the defense of this principle, that the principle that America was founded on, that justified America's own long endurance. So when America, as long as America stay with this national ideal, then it will be strong. When America, you know, deviated from that principle, you'll be weak. And so that's an American exceptionalism. Any other country can make its national policies or international policy, whatever policy, based on interests, not America. As soon as America does that, it will be weakened, because America is found on a principle. It's under God's watch. And so if we forgot that, we will be weaker. Now, finally, after this 30 years, some America began to look at the CCP more seriously. Yet so far, even with Nikki Haley's wonderful article, we're still looking at the phenomena, the symptom. We haven't looked into its root. And there's, if we look at back for the past 30 years, this 30 years is surprisingly quiet compared to other parts of history. This particular 30 years is particularly peaceful, quiet. There's not much going on. There's only just so few things going on. But there's one constant theme throughout the past 30 years. And we missed it. The world missed it. And certainly, China's rise is part of it. But behind that, there's one theme that is China's constant suppression of its, or the CCP's constant exploitation and suppression of its population.
See, and I don't think people, I really don't think Americans understand that. And Americans, and as we spoke about last week, even Americans who go to China, they see what the Chinese government organizes for them to see. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't get to see what's really. They don't get to have conversations like you would here. I mean,
if jump in a car and just go drive through the country and
check stuff out. Landed here. You go to a grocery store and you know it's like, hey, are you from here? Do you like it here? I mean, people could actually tell you what they think, but that's mm-hmm. not something that's going on over there. And I'm not sure, you know. I think part of the problem is we can't comprehend that. We really have no idea what that means. We can talk about it, but unless you've lived that way, I don't think we have a clue. We have to take a really quick break again, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. We are talking about the Chinese Communist Party and then its influence on America and kind of how we interact that way. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Young people speak in their minds. Are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Warrior strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. Better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going.
Hit it, Bill. You said you had something when we came back. You're just like
I wasn't
just
prepared.
Looking at the microphone.
The Art of War by Sun Tzu, one of the quotes is, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Right. And that really says a lot about what's going on today with China.
Right.
Yeah, they read the book, too. Oh, yeah, yeah, they wrote the book.
They wrote the book.
We read the book later, and then we thought it was great, great ideas.
Yeah, it's great fiction.
We forgot somebody was actually doing it.
Right.
Dr. Chen, when you see all this going on, I mean, it's got to be kind of frustrating.
Well, I myself got to know it slowly. When I first came to this country, I came with all this communist education, indoctrination, right? And one advantage is that I know the system better than others, but that doesn't explain all. You mentioned that America's didn't know what's going on in China. They go to China and see what the government let them to see. But there are people who know more. And I think it's a proper place we talk about the media's role in all this.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Yeah, because it isn't everybody. I just mean, people who go there as tourists or that kind of thing. I mean, their experience is very, very controlled, which is just not something I think our government could pull off here. follow someone on vacation and control everyone they meet.
Unfortunately, that control starts in the United States, even before America went to China to take a trip. They are already under the control, and that is by our media. America, our government really is the three branches government, check and balance, plus the media.
Correct. That's the idea, media. Anyway.
Yeah. The media, really, to me, the media cannot be treated as any business. Media should not be any business because it carries public trust. Anything that carries public trust, it cannot be just any business. Just like government, can government be allowed to make money for its owner? It cannot. Yet, America's, I don't know when, but it's probably over time that America's media slowly degrade into pure business. When the media becomes business, there's major consequence. That is, news now becomes product.
Mm-hmm.
When news is a product, then the company can choose what product to sell.
And who to market to, yeah.
Right. And the news that's not good for for the company's bottom line and top line, it will suppress that product. Well, that product is news. Then we no longer get truthful news. And that is why a particular media now is gaining more and more trust. That is, you probably heard about it, the Epoch Times.
Epoch Times is awesome. We've had one of their writers on before. They're in our list of shows on China. They do a wonderful job and really a wide variety of stories.
Mm-hmm. And the reason is that the journalists in Epoch Times, most of them are Falun Gong practitioners, a group that has withstood China's 20 years of persecution.
I did not know.
And that itself, China's persecution of Falun Gong has been suppressed by American media. Major suppression. I'm not talking about, suppressed. It's a systematic suppression. And so America's media played a major role in this. And now we see, the first victims are Chinese people, human rights victims. But now Americans, they themselves become victims of this manipulated media. They probably don't realize yet because media is still being manipulated. But once more and more America realize how, some of the, particularly the liberal media has been reporting false, what President Trump called fake news, That will be the time, you know, that those media would be bankrupt.
That only will be true if the media doesn't have the government, or the government doesn't have the media in its pocket. With the fake news that right now they've got a lot of the government behind them, and they can say whatever they want and put it out as truth. If the government doesn't allow fake news, I don't think you'll see it happen. But you're right. It's a product, and if that product is allowed to be manipulated and put out there, we're all going to suffer.
Yeah. I think America needs to do a deep soul-searching and relook, you know, the past whatever number of years that, you know, how we got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the degradation of media integrity is certainly one of them.
Your media in China is totally controlled by the government, isn't it?
Yes. And that China's has exported that kind of control to America.
Mm-hmm.
CCP has bought up a lot of media here.
Right.
Most of the Chinese media has been bought.
Wow.
And then China has bought into Hollywood. I mean, when we talk about Chinafornia, we cannot omit China's influence in Hollywood. Hollywood used to be a strong frontline resisting China's influence. The Hollywood prides itself for its freedom of expression.
Oh yeah, they were patriots. I mean, look at you go back into the 40s and 50s where they did a lot of movies that were very patriotic and
mm-hmm.
you know, they had their blacklist back in the day to root out communism, and
mm-hmm.
now look at it.
Mm-hmm. And now they are exercising self-censorship because they covet China's market, and because China invests in Hollywood. And so Hollywood is a proud Jew of America. Now that is very much tainted. And that's in California. If we talk about Chinafornia, we cannot, you know, avoid talking about Hollywood.
Hmm.
And I don't think...
Well, look at how many of the...
Yeah.
I was just going to say, look at how many of these people in Hollywood think that they're the media. I mean, those lines have become really, really blurred.
Here are these actors
who play someone, you know, some character, and then they think they can lecture us on... I mean, you name it, morality, guns, immigration, you know, who to elect for a president, what racism means.
Yeah, if they like him as an actor, they must be good people, and they would never lie to us.
Well, they must be experts. It's
experts.
Like, wait a second. All they're doing is reading lines, and yeah, anyway. But
yeah.
It's bad when your media and your entertainment industry all become the same thing.
Yeah. And so... media certainly played a major role in preventing Americans to know the truth about China, to know the truth about America's relationship with China, and to know the truth about American company and American politicians dealing with China. And as a result, they don't know what's going on. And in particular, I mentioned a constant theme for the past 28 years is the CCP's persecution of Falun Gong. As bad as it is, I mean, that Nikki Haley's article, I recommend it because it really reflects a comprehensive change of view of American high officials, their view on China. So it gave a comprehensive view of, you know, how that had changed. But as bad as it is, if it is not for Falun Gong, it would have been so much worse, because China, for all these years, past 20 years, spent a major portion of its national resources in persecuting this group, 100 million of Falun Gong practitioners.
How many of them?
100 million. There's 100 million Falun Gong practitioners in China.
100 million Falun Gong.
Yeah. Right.
I know, and the show we did on organ harvesting, they were the top, you know,
donors.
They were the top participants in that.
All right, we better take a break real quick. 2 minutes.
2 minutes to celebrate a little capitalism. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Chen. We are talking about China for the second week in a row. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Bill's over here scouting out Sun Tzu. He had a scary another scary Sun Tzu quote for us.
Scary Sun Tzu quote. Let your plans be dark and impenetrable as night, and when you move, fall like a thunderbolt. Ouch. I'm afraid.
I mean, honestly, I think anybody who's ever read Sun Tzu knows that that's quite the playbook, but I'm not sure we fully comprehend where it all started.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth revisiting. I just wanted to let people know too, the Epoch Times, I included a link for you on today's page. So if you go to the July 28th, 2019 page at wethepeopleradio.us, I keep adding things as we go. And I'm going to get Dr. Chen to send me the rest of the article on Nikki Haley, and I'll post that too for those of us who don't have subscriptions to foreignaffairs.com and we want to read the rest of the article. So we'll get that up for you too.
I think another thing people don't really comprehend is the size of China, the population of China.
Yeah, the volume of China.
Yeah, I mean, we as a nation are somewhere around 300 million people, a little over 300 million people. China is well over a billion.
And 5 times of that, 1.5 billion.
5 billion, yeah. So, I mean,
1.5 billion.
As opposed to, what, 320 million in our country. I mean, it is.
Who knows now? The southern border's kind of changing the number as we go. Yeah. Sorry, different topic.
Yeah, different topic. It's China should not be trifled with. And I think that's exactly what we're doing, is we think we are taking advantage of China, when in fact I think China is taking advantage of us. And I think our government really needs to wake up and realize they don't need our help to develop their economy.
Well, like,
they're doing just fine.
Some of the things, Dr. Chen, that you listed in that article on methods that the Chinese Communist Party or the CCP uses, recruitment of business leaders who have strong economic interests in China, it's like, check. Mm-hmm. Leveraging trade and investment dependence to coerce partners, check.
Mm-hmm.
Substantial financial and other assistance to key individuals and institutions that are prepared to support China's interests. That's a big deal.
Yes.
And so can you speak a little bit to that with the university system? Just because that's just so important. I know we touched it last week, but.
Well, the university system, okay. If China, let me put it this way. if the CCP can get a Chinese to do what it can in the U.S., it will look to have its Chinese, national to do it before it go on to American or non-Chinese. So in the university, a lot of the CCP is doing is through Chinese professors, Chinese students. And so in that aspect, we have done, we know even less. Right? Last time I mentioned the 1,000 talent program, a lot of those people who are in that program are compromised by the CCP. They're recruited to legally steal from U.S. And then another way, an excellent article, but that's many years ago. I will forward it. I'll send an article to you also. There's very well, probably the best known, at least best, most famous scholar on Chinese study is Perry Link. He once wrote an article titled "The Anaconda," basically a big snake in the chandelier. It described China's control of intellectuals, even the threat of scholars in the United States. Many of the Chinese study scholars depend on their access to China for their career.
Oh.
They spend their, tremendous amount of resources to get their degree to learn the Chinese. And if they're cut off from China's information or access to China, their career will be over. And so China did that to him and did that to a lot of Chinese scholars, Western and non-Chinese scholars, to suppress their study. And so their China study has been, by itself, the China study has been manipulated or biased, because there's this major power watching over you, like Perry Link in the article says, hiding in the chandelier. I mean, even at your home, you don't feel safe because someone is watching you. And so there's very little fear Chinese or impartial Chinese studies. And those in favor of China will get China's support in various forms, their access to China. And so that also manipulated America's perception of China, because these are from their scholars, supposed to be impartial.
Sure, sure. You would think, yeah, these are, and the other, the other little piece of this article, because we spoke about it last week, the charm offensive. And I thought this part was very, very telling, because we're looking at it. We just don't know what we're seeing. So the charm offensive is achieved by a variety of methods, including cooperation, co-option, and coercion, and making the price of collaboration irresistible, thus slowly absorbing the party's enemies into its ranks. So when it comes to mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, so you move over to the business sector, the carrots dangled include sought-after positions in government advisory bodies like the Chinese People's Political Consultative Congress, that's CPPCC, which imply insider access, if not actual power. Success of this strategy can be seen from a single statistic. Okay, hope everyone's sitting down. The CPPCC now contains 59, that's 5-9, U.S. dollar billionaires whose combined net worth double the GDP of Ireland.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Personal influence.
So it isn't just your intellectuals. It isn't just your military people. It isn't just your tech folks, you know, swiping secrets and military applications. I mean, let's bring the business leaders in. Hey, there's something in here for you, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a business here in our little town that trains Chinese pilots to fly jets. And we've come across these folks many times in our community. Very polite. I mean, they're very quiet. And I'm sure they're...
I will say, however, Dr. Chen, we don't live in a really... we live in a fairly monochromatic area up here at the northern end of California. And the one day we were in the grocery store, it was fairly late at night, and it turned out the Chinese pilots were doing their grocery shopping that night.
Yeah, that was...
Seriously, cool. Bill and I were the only people in the store who weren't Chinese. It's like, did something happen that we don't know about?
Did they land? Yeah, but you know, when you think about that, I mean, that's a little bit scary. I guess they have to get their training somewhere, but... Again, this is an American company that was probably offered a very lucrative contract to train young pilots to fly and then go back to China and you know,
yeah,
go to their airlines and their military or whatever. But yeah, you're going to see it in every industry where our business leaders are involved with the Chinese people.
Yeah, let me give you an example of, you know, China-fornia version of that. People have asked me, so, I mean, when you talk about this, what's its harm? So what? What's its harm? Well, the largest retirement fund of California has hired a Chinese high official who used to work in Chinese finance department as its chief officer.
Wow.
That's cited in the California article.
That would more than likely be CalPERS.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. It is the CalPERS. Right?
Bill gets a gold star. Good job, Bill.
Look, think about it. Think about the conflict of interest.
Yeah.
The potential conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I think people don't realize. It's not so much the selection of this particular person, but rather the failure of the system of not detecting that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the eventual
we kind of stick at detecting threats,
consequences of that, yeah,
at that type of threat.
No,
well, that's a live example of United Front work, right?
Yeah,
just
no
a
kidding.
Little bit here, a little bit there, and just slowly move along. We've got
a hard break here for the news, and then we're going to come back with our guest, Dr. Chen, because he is our hostage for the entire program today. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.